Hello and welcome to Banter, the Radio 4 panel game where we try to establish what's hot and what's not. I'm Andrew Collins, and joining me to hammer out top threes in categories covering anything from four weddings and a funeral to five guys named Mo are Chris Addison.
Hello.
Richard Herring.
Hello.
Russell Howard.
Hello.
And Sue Perkins.
I'm being held against my will.
Okay, before the show, each of our panellists was given a different category. They were asked to write down their top three for that category and to put their answers into a noisy envelope. Between the rest of us, we'll be trying to come up with top threes for each of these four categories, one by one, with points scored for good suggestions, good objections, and for getting any of my personal favourites, which they don't know, at which you'll hear this. So stay on my good side, keep your nose clean, and you'll do just fine. So, like a Saturday night in Ibiza, after a lorry load of Alco Pops has overturned in the high street, we're about to kick off with our first top three. Our first category is your top three artists who can actually paint. Now, in each round, whoever filled in the envelope for that particular category sits out the chat. In this case, it's Sue Perkins, so if you'd sit this one out, please, Sue. Chris Addison, would you like to start us off?
Well, I like Thomas Gainsborough, who's a fantastic 18th century portrait painter, and he used to do this thing where if he was painting the portrait of a woman who he found ugly, he would paint a dog in the picture as well. like a little
on her face or in the background.
No, no. It's like a little code on his part. George Stubbs did the same thing. Every time he had to paint someone ugly, he painted a horse instead.
Yeah. So I'll give you an art history point for telling me something I didn't know about Gainsborough. Anyone else want to leap in?
I've got one.
Oh, go on.
Rolf Harris.
Yeah.
Straight away.
The popular choice,
Russell.
What do
you mean, boo? Boo, no. He can paint, he can sing, he can swim, he can save animals, and he's immortal, he can't be killed.
Did you see him when he had to paint the Queen? Did you see the programme? It's just found the Queen barely concealed disdain. Not even concealed.
Just interestingly, that's the look he was going for with the portrait. I mean, you look at the painting.
But you see in the background, Rolf drew a wallaby. I like Tony Hart as well. I've got lots of Hart. Yeah. You don't like Harris, but you like Hart.
It looks like one of those people who says hello slightly in slightly too long a form, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Hello.
One of those people. I've got four. Leonardo da Vinci, Raphael, Michelangelo, and Donatello. It's the Mutant Turtle School, of course.
What was their sensei called for an extra bonus point?
Splinter.
Yes, correct.
Oh. Can I just say, just to be boring, you can't give out points, Russell.
Why do you always let him sit by the buzzer? He always passes it. You never learn your lesson. I like Van Gogh.
He
cut off his ear to impress a woman. Most of them prefer flowers, but every now and again, you'll find one who goes, "That is pretty cool." But in his lifetime, he only sold one painting, which a lot of people make a lot of. But, you know, his paintings sell for like £60 million, so you only need to sell one of them, and you're fine. So he lived a life of luxury.
That would impress women, wouldn't it? He wouldn't need to cut his ear off.
You'd think.
Also, it's a risky strategy, because you can only do it twice, can't you? You've got to really, really pick your moment, haven't you?
You do.
No third goes.
But and the second one's going to feel a bit like, what happened to the first one?
Yeah, exactly.
You've done this before.
How unlucky would it have been if Van Gogh was trying to impress the girl by cutting off his ear, but she was trying to impress him and she bought him some earmuffs? Neil Buchanan.
Now you're going highbrow. Neil Buchanan off Art Attack.
I like Neil Buchanan because he's trying to still look like he's young, at least Tony Hart. But he's got a kind of shriveled, wrinkled gonk face now underneath. And if you look at him, he's about 60 years old. He's been on for a long time.
It would be great if he just one day woke up and had the revelation that I'm just trying to look too young. I should go down the Tony Hart route. Really freak out a generation of kids if he suddenly turns up in a pink shirt with his sleeves rolled up and a big white quiff. Hello, what the hell?
And a cravat.
Yeah.
To lose the trek, what about him?
Oh, yeah.
Very small man.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he did walk around on his knees, didn't he, to lose his
toe?
Yeah,
right.
To strap his shoes on his knees. Shuffle about.
But the ladies love
an idiot.
How about that Scottish bloke, Jack Vermicelli?
Jack Vermicelli?
Yes. He got into trouble for, because he copied those dancing people on the beach out of a book.
You're supposed to copy things out of.
But no one goes to Leonardo da Vinci, you just copied that Mona Lisa off that woman's face. But at least Leonardo da Vinci puts codes in his painting. That's what I like. He puts, and that's what I like. It's like Kit Williams. Was it Kit Williams who did Masquerade? He had, there was like a little treasure hunt in Leonardo da Vinci's work, which I like. I read a book about Leonardo da Vinci, which said
was
that he created...
Book that everybody else has read?
No. It wasn't. It's a better one, which claims he created the Turin Shroud. Which was and that the face on the Turin Shroud is Leonardo da Vinci's face. They kind of gloss over the fact that the Turin Shroud was around about 100 years before Leonardo da Vinci by saying, oh, there was two, and then there was one. And then
it was around before him, but it didn't have a face on it.
If you've got a really dirty face and you use a towel to wipe it and you haven't washed it properly, you get that effect.
Are you hinting at something here?
Maybe Leonardo had a dirty face, is all I'm saying. Maybe that's the code.
But he did live in a sewer with his three mates.
That's entirely possible.
Well, I think time is up on this topic, so I'm going to have to ask you for your final top threes. Russell Howard, what have you got?
Rolf Harris, Tony Hart, and Van Gogh.
Okay. Chris?
I'm going for Thomas Gainsborough, Joseph Wright of Derby, and Degas. Edward Degas.
What's he famous for?
He used to paint pictures of ballerinas. It's kind of like watching Moulin Rouge without having to listen to a Ewan McGregor or Nicole Kidman murdering songs that I never liked in the first place.
I'll give you a point for that, because there's a lot of venom in there. I like it. Okay, Richard, your top three, please.
Da Vinci, Van Gogh, and my granddad.
Well, you've chalked up some good scores, but you can all score some bonus points if any of the answers in Sue Perkins' envelope match any of yours. So, Sue Perkins, let us know. What are your top three artists who can actually paint?
My top three are Turner...
Ah.
Who, of course, painted Dido building Carthage, if only she'd stuck to that. Van Gogh and Hopper of the... Not with Dennis, but the Edward.
He's brilliant, these
guys. Yeah, brilliant. With women looking sadly out of cafe windows, wondering how long it would be before the invention of Frappa Mochaccino in their lifetime, sadly. So those are my three.
So, Sue, with Van Gogh... You matched up twice, once with Russell, once with Richard. They get a point each. You get 2 points. And that means at the end of round one, still on the bench, is Richard Herring. But out on the field, pulling their shirts over their head for some reason. Joint first, Chris Addison, Russell Howard and Sue Perkins. Okay, now for one of our quickfire rounds. This one is called Either Or. So, Sue Perkins, you're up first, and your Either Or is... Ant or deck?
Hard to split them, really. They're like a hydra. If you just remove one, it will grow back again and become even stronger. I would say if you look at ants, the ant obviously can lift 20 times its body weight, has a lifespan of 45 to 60 years on ITV1. Deck, then, whose hairline is rising faster than the world sees.
Do you know, it's quite obvious you know which is Ant and which is Deck, which a lot of people here don't. So for that alone, I'll give you 3 points. So, Richard Herring, match of the day or soup of the day?
Football or soup, you're asking?
Yes.
Unspecified soup, a different soup every day. If I knew what flavour soup it was, maybe I could go for it.
Well,
I don't like soup or football. What do I do?
If it's soup of the day, it's either going to be mushroom or carrot and coriander. They are the only soups of the day, aren't they?
Soup of the day, then.
It's a philosophical question, clearly, and you've thought about it in a philosophical way, so for that I'll give you no points.
Thank you.
Chris Addison, Perikomo or Perestroika?
Right, I would say Perestroika was a series of economic reforms introduced by Gorbachev in the latter days of the Soviet Empire, ultimately bringing about its downfall through a tailspin in national debt. Thus, in 1991, Perestroika technically stopped, whereas Perikomo lived till 2001, so he wins.
Impeccable. I'll give you 3 extra points for that. Russell, Chrysanthemum or Chris Akabusi?
If it's Mother's Day, you'd go for the flowers. It's tricky to get an athlete in a vase. If you were at home and you'd forgotten something at the shops, you could send Akabusi out. So you kind of go, oh, I'll get us that Twix, and you're like, woo, 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 woo. I'm going to go with Akabusi holding a chrysanthemum.
I'll give you 1 for indecision, and we will add those points onto our scoreboard and move straight on to our second top three. Russell Howard, you're sitting this one out, so please sit back as we hammer out the top three speeches. Can you start us off, please, Sue Perkins?
My favourite speech is the Martin Luther King speech. Not the one that's possibly survived historically, but the first time he uttered his I Have a Dream speech, which was, I have a dream walking down a long corridor, being chased by a man. There's a light and a naked nun, and there's an enormous forum of people standing waiting for me to say something, and I realise I've got no clothes on. Other ones are like, ladies not for turning. Margaret Thatcher, although she does a very good back somersault, so she won't turn, but she will flick-flack.
I like the, of the Mrs. Thatcher ones, I like the one where she collapsed. It was about 6 months after she stopped being Prime Minister, about 5 years before she realised, and she was doing this speech. She was doing speeches standing at a podium. It's like something, it's like you can almost hear the kind of twang of the wire snapping. Something goes wrong inside her and she slows down. She's just, she never made a better speech.
Did she come back up?
Just a guy comes on with a big key.
Yeah. And ironically turns her.
I like Churchill's, "We will defend this island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight them on the beaches, on the landing grounds, in the fields, in the streets." I think it'd be good if he'd had a heckler during it, though, going, "What about the squash courts?" we'll fight them there as well. The playground, we'll fight them everywhere. That's the point I'm making. Why don't you just say we'll fight
Streatham
them everywhere?
Streatham Library.
I think Churchill's speeches should be disqualified, though, because it wasn't him, was it? It was an actor. It was a guy called Norman Shelley. I like to think because his voice wasn't good enough, Churchill's voice, and he was saying, "Why can't I do this speech?" No, Winston, we really think Norman should do it.
But this is not the end, it is not the beginning of the end, but it is the end of the beginning. I'm not this speech.
He was the equivalent of Dave Prowse and Darth Vader.
Yeah, basically.
Boy, can't I be Darth Vader? I like the Sally Field speech, in the Oscar speech, where she said, "You like me, you really like me," and immediately, people, as soon as she said that, people started thinking, hang on, take that away from her, take her to the old mill and burn her.
Can I just say, you're getting close to my favourite speech.
Halle Berry, Cuba Gooding.
Halle Berry's Oscar speech was particularly good, where she decided she must thank all of the people of colour in her speech, because she was the first... Well, she was the least white actress ever to win that award, which was an honour.
You know, so Judith Chalmers and David Dickinson were... This one's for us.
They were in the audience really cross they didn't get it. For political balance, we've mentioned Margaret Thatcher. We should probably celebrate a Labour leader.
Tony Blair, the only speech he's done is education, education, education.
That's the mistake he's made there.
Those are all the same thing. Yeah. He says we need three things. That's one thing.
That's not a speech.
That's not a good speech. That's a quote from the speech. The whole speech actually goes, education, 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 education. About 5 minutes of that. Oh, the St. Crispin's Day speech from Henry V. He had a good writer.
Can you remember any of it?
Thanks very much. My name's been Henry V. Good night. I think that's
crack on, lads.
Point for that. Well, I hate to say stop speaking, but stop speaking. That's the end of that round. Give us your final top threes, then, starting with Chris Addison.
The Henry V speech, the I Have a Dream speech, and I think, although I didn't mention it, George Bailey addressing the Buildings and Loan Board in It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah. Lovely. Richard Herring, your three, please.
We shall fight them on the beaches. I Have a Dream, and Ich bin ein Berliner, in which he was actually saying, I am a donut. That's true, that's what a Berliner was then.
Very good. And Sue Perkins, your top three, please.
Ladies Not for Turning. I'm going to go for Gwyneth Paltrow's Oscar speech, actually, and I Have a Dream.
Right, well, let's see if any of you are going to get any additional points here. Russell Howard, please tell us, what are your top three speeches?
Russell's top three speeches. Martin Luther King.
Yay.
Bob Dylan's last words on Woody Guthrie. And the third is by somebody you won't know. It's a bloke called Adrian Timms, who was my football manager. and I've got an extract of one of his. It was during halftime where he generally said this. He went, "Gentlemen, we're not at the party. They're in the party. They're dancing with our wives. We're not even putting our coats on in the cloakroom. We're still waiting for the taxis. Any questions?" To which my friend Paul said, "You do know that we're 10.
Russell, you've got 3 points there for matching up Martin Luther King with Sue, Richard and Chris, who all get a point each. And we find that at the end of that round, in fourth place is Richard Herring, in third place, Russell Howard, in second, Chris Addison, and in first place, Sue Perkins. Okay, time for another quickfire round, and this time it's simply the best, where we get the audience involved. So, guests, I'd like all four of you to write down your favourite one of the seven dwarfs, please. Now, as the audience arrived today, we asked them which their favourite one of the seven dwarfs was. Our guests will score points if their favourite is the same as the overall audience favourite. Sue Perkins, what have you got?
Doc, because as a licensed healthcare professional, he's failed to notice that around him are sleepy, grumpy, dopey, bashful, that's obviously a hormone issue, and happy, who's bipolar. So, yeah, he's my favourite.
Okay, Russell Howard, what have you got?
Sleepy.
Oh, a few people there matched up with you. Let us then go to Chris Addison. What have you got?
I think audience says dopey. I say Doc.
Richard Herring, what have you got?
I've also gone for Doc because he bucked the trend. You know, he didn't go. He was an individual. He didn't go with the E thing. Yeah. He just said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to have a nickname based on one of my attributes. I'm just going to call myself Doc.
Okay, thank you for your choices. And I can reveal in third place was Grumpy. Yay! And in second, with 20% of the vote, we have Sleepy. Yay! I'm a bit tired. But number one, with 33% of the vote, it's Dopey. Yay! Nobody matched up with Dopey, so nobody got any points here. So on to our next top three. And it's your top three Steven Spielberg movies. Richard Herring, you're sitting this one out. So what do you think? Russell Howard.
Indiana Jones. Mainly for the music. Dun, 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 dun. So do that when I was used to go sledging, like bam, 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 in the back of Dad's car, dun, 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 having a wee. Dun, bam, bam. It's got some of the best kills in cinema history as well. That bit in Indiana Jones when the blokes kind of go whoosh, 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 with the sword, and Indy just pulls out his gun and slays him. But apparently that was improvised, like when they first did it.
Because it was a real bullet.
No, no,
no, it was going to happen.
There was supposed to be a sword fight, but when they did it the first time, Indiana Jones really needed to go to the toilet.
What way would him needing the toilet?
He had dysentery or something. He was very ill.
Change.
He had diarrhea.
Russell Howard, you are absolutely right with that dysentery story, and I will give you three points for that piece of film history. Let's just pick another Spielberg movie.
Okay. Schindler's List. Hey, what about that? Hey, where are your jokes now?
It's always a crowd pleaser, that one. Yeah.
I prefer Raiders of the Lost Ark because the Nazis are more light-hearted.
Anyone got any feelings about Jaws that they'd like to share?
Da-na. I used to sing that as well, in the bath.
You want a point every time you sing the theme tune to one of Spielberg's films, Russell?
If you like.
Two so far, then.
Right.
Give me another one, you can have a third point.
He did a home video once that... and look at Crazy Steven, Steven's on the wall, doing all his funky moves, Steven. That's,
Can't have that. Can't
what? This? Can't have it?
No.
Well, yeah, I've seen the video, so...
He was in...
Anybody cry at E.T.?
Yes.
E.T. looks a bit like Mother Teresa. Yeah.
Particularly well on the bike with the cowl, the hoodie.
Also,
bad E.T.
Mother Teresa had her finger that lit up at the end. Yeah. Go around lighting the cigarettes of slum children.
You're going to have a point for that. Because, that's made us all feel warm inside.
That's got to be 2 points for that.
Well, I'll decide. I went to see Jurassic Park when it came out with somebody, and they were asked what it was like the next day at the office, and she said, well, it was pretty good. The puppets were excellent. I think Spielberg would like that.
There's another great kill in that as well, where the guy gets eaten by a T-Rex whilst on a toilet.
Brilliant kill.
Which, and you don't see that coming. You know what I mean? That'll teach him to walk out with steak seasoning on his head.
I can't believe no one's mentioned The Terminal with Tom Hanks trapped at an airport.
No, that is terrible.
It's mainly product placement. Steven Spielberg built an airport lounge and put Starbucks and WH Smith and all the other shops in it so that they could all be advertised.
I like the idea of Spielberg doing product placement for WH Smith. Yeah. Four boys just didn't come through with the check. No.
It's Claire's Accessories just to the right. But he's a career low when he copied the Dixon's ad in Minority Report.
But it's better that he plagiarised the Dixon's ad rather than the actual Dixon's way of doing things. Although Minority Report would have been Tom Cruise going, could you just hold for a second, I'll check it. I'm sure we've got that round about. So. Kevin's dropped it.
Well, I'm afraid there's no more time to talk this one out, so please give me your final top three, starting with Chris Addison.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, Schindler's List, and Blues Brothers.
Okay, Russell Howard?
Hooked. It's got a fat kid putting his legs over his head and rolling down a bridge. You don't see that in Saving Private Ryan. E.T. and Stephen Gets Silly. That's the home video I was referring to earlier.
Russell, you can have an extra point for mentioning Hook, which is more than Steven Spielberg does. Sue Perkins, your top three, please.
Jewel, Jaws, and Schindler's List.
Right, let's see if there are any more points up for grabs. Richard Herring, please tell us, what are your top three Spielberg movies?
Number one, Jaws, the Jaws film. Number two, Indiana Jones. Number three, Schindler's List.
Richard, you score 4 points for matching up twice with Jaws and Schindler's List, with Chris and with Sue, so they get 2 points each. And that means that the bell sounds for the final lap at the end of that round. We're left with, in last place, Richard Herring. In third place, Russell Howard. In second, Sue Perkins. And now in the lead, it's Chris Addison. OK, time for our final quickfire round called Who Would Win? A series of hypothetical bouts of anything from Dungeons and Dragons to doctors and nurses. So, Russell Howard, we'll start with you. Who would win a game of five-a-side football? The Jackson Five or the Famous Five?
Classic defence versus attack. The Jackson Five, very, very defensively sort of orientated. Tito kind of just soaks up the play, really. Whereas the Famous Five, more of a flair outfit. Julian hovering, tic-tacking with Anne, and Timmy the dog as a lone striker. It'd be 0-0 up to about 88 minutes. Timmy would play dead. Michael would just wander over, try and save him, and then bang! And rips one past the outstretched fingers of Marlon. And I've got the aftermatch sort of scenario, really. Just the Famous Five in a bar full of ginger beer.
5 points for that full and frank answer. Sue Perkins, who would win at Scalextric, Damon Hill or Jensen Button?
Well, knowing lots about Formula One, as I do, it's very easy to answer that question. Who would win? Well, as far as I know, Damon Hill's not done Formula One since about 99, or he spent the last 2 years, apparently, with Jordan, which may have attributed to his slightly diminishing interest in cars. Damon Hill.
You can have 2 points for that. Richard Herring, who would win at Battleships, Sir Francis Drake or Popeye?
I think Popeye would win because Battleships wasn't invented in whatever century Francis Drake was in. 2-1, Oxford history.
4 points for logic there, I think. And finally, Chris Addison, who would win at Articulate, Chewbacca or Scooby-Doo?
Well, Scooby-Doo has more noises available to him. Chewbacca has the one basic kind of noise. Scooby-Doo has a range. Also a great talent for dressing up, which I imagine would help him express himself more clearly. Although, didn't in the final film, the last one, didn't the Wookiees get subtitles?
Yes.
In the first five films, it would be Scooby-Doo, but in the last film, with subtitles, it would be Chewbacca.
That's very, very precise. I give you 4 for that. So we'll add those points to the scores and go straight into our final top three. Chris Addison, you're sitting this one out. The rest of you are after your top three things you eat for breakfast. Russell Howard, please start us off.
Eggs Benedict. Just so right. Do you ever find yourself that you're enjoying a meal so much you find yourself talking to it? Well, you are lovely. Oh, I did that in Wagamama the other day in Bristol. It's great. Go into the Bristolian Wagamama. It's wonderful. It's like, have you been to Wagamama before? Nope, but I'll be coming back.
Sue, what do you eat when you get
Only
up?
One cereal for me, Cocoa Pops dirty cereal. Turns the milk brown, naughty. And if you leave it for up to about 3 or 4 hours, a thin crust develops on it. Don't know what they've put on it, but dirty cereal. Love it.
Richard.
I like crunchy nut cornflakes, which are Frosties for adults. I like that. The trouble is they taste too good, I find, which puts me off. There used to be a cereal called something like Banana Bubbles or something like that. It didn't last long, but it had the strap line, it's the cereal that thinks it's a milkshake. To me, the fact it was capable of rational thought was there. I like drinking bacteria-filled yogurt for breakfast as well. They're friendly, but I kind of think, well, I'll have some friends, at least, if I drink this.
One of those bacteria is called Bifidus digestivum, which they've made up, haven't they?
Yes.
He's my favourite, Bifidus. That's the one I like. Have you given them all names, all the back, because there's millions of them in there.
El Casse Immunitas, the L stands for Lionel.
Porridge is good to give a hungover person because you see the look of confusion as something warm and grey is in front of you. Thinking, did you make that or did I make that?
The best breakfast I had was when I was on tour with Stuart Lee and Richard Thomas, who went on to write Jerry Springer the Opera. One night, you put your little card out on the door for them. So I put it out and Richard Thomas came past my room and ticked every single thing. And the next day, literally, two men came up with trays full of stuff. And the third man was just standing behind them, looking. He'd obviously just come up to see the greedy man who wanted to eat every single thing. But hats off to them. They did bring every single thing up.
Richard, I'm going to give you a point for each of the trays there, because that's
Thank
a good
you.
Little tale.
Thank you.
2 points, I think, there. And none of you got homemade strawberry mango and oat milk smoothie.
I was close.
Yeah, we were close, but you weren't there, so you
oat
can't
milk.
Have a point. Oat milk is milk made of oats.
How do you milk an oat?
Imagine.
The teats on that are very, very unyielding, I'd imagine.
You only see them after they've been milked.
They're gigantic.
Originally, they're enormous.
I'll give you a point for that. Well, that's your lot, I'm afraid. So for the last time, can I have your top threes, Russell Howard?
Eggs Benedict, Rice Krispies, and Sugar Puffs.
Sue Perkins, what have you got?
I've got toast, porridge, and Cocoa Pops.
OK, Richard Herring, your top three, please.
So for bacteria, yoghurt, porridge, and crunchy nut cornflakes.
Well, like Tom Cruise in the film Cocktail, this could shake everything up. So, Chris Addison, please open your... You see? Please open your envelope. And let us know, what are your top three things you eat for breakfast, please?
My top three things are eggs, Benedict, toast and Cocoa Pops.
Get in. 3 points then for Chris Addison for matching up Cocoa Pops and toast with Sue Perkins, who gets two, and once with Russell Howard, who had eggs, Benedict. So adding on those final bonus points, I'm afraid that means at the end of today's show, our top three losers are Richard Herring, Russell Howard and Sue Perkins. And yes, with more points than a PowerPoint presentation by a sea urchin and a porcupine... It's Chris Addison. So that's all from us for today's show. A big thank you to all of my guests. And remember, there's plenty more fish in the sea, but it's usually quicker to pop to Morrison's. Goodbye.